The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 2nd, 1993 at Marari Sevak Farm in Mulberry, Tennessee. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, verse 6 through 7.
Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananyena eva yogena mangyayanta upasate kesham aham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha maya vesita chetasam. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. For those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O Sana Prita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is explicitly stated here that the devotees are very fortunate to be delivered very soon from the material existence by the Lord. In pure devotional service, one comes to the realization that God is great and that the individual soul is subordinate to Him. His duty is to render service to the Lord. And if he does not, then he will render service to Maya. As stated before, the Supreme Lord can be appreciated only by devotional service. Therefore, one should be fully devoted. One should fix his mind fully on Krishna in order to achieve Him. One should work only for Krishna. It does not matter in what kind of work one engages, but that work should be done only for Krishna. That is the standard of devotional service. The devotee does not desire any achievement other than pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His life's mission is to please Krishna, and he can sacrifice everything for Krishna's satisfaction, just as Arjuna did in the battle of Kurukshetra. The process is very simple. One can devote himself in his occupation and engage at the same time in chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such transcendental chanting attracts the devotee to the Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord herein promises that without delay, He will deliver a pure devotee thus engaged from the ocean of material existence. Those who are advanced in yoga practice can willfully transfer the soul to whatever planet they like by the yoga process. And others take the opportunity in various ways. But as far as the devotee is concerned, it's clearly stated here that the Lord Himself takes him. The devotee does not need to wait to become very experienced in order to transfer himself to the spiritual sky. In the Varaha Purana, this verse appears, Nayami paramam stanam achir adi gating dina garuda skandhamarupya yate chang anivarita. The purport of this verse is that a devotee does not need to practice ashtanga yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. The responsibility is taken by the Supreme Lord Himself. He clearly states here that He Himself becomes the deliverer. A child is completely cared for by his parents, and thus his position is secure. Similarly, a devotee does not need to endeavor to transfer himself by yoga practice to other planets. Rather, the Supreme Lord, by His great mercy, comes at once, riding on his bird carrier, Garuda, and at once delivers the devotee from the material existence. Although a man who has fallen in the ocean may struggle very hard and may be very expert in swimming, he cannot save himself. But if someone comes and picks him up from the water, then he is easily rescued. Similarly, the Lord picks up the devotee from this material existence. One simply has to practice the easy process of Krishna consciousness and fully engage himself in devotional service. Any intelligent man should always prefer the process of devotional service to all other paths. In the Narayaniya, this is confirmed as follows. Yavai sadhana sampatti purushartha chatushtaye toyavina tadapnoti naro narayana swayaha. The purport of this verse is that one should not engage in the different processes of fruitive activity, nor cultivate knowledge by the mental speculative process. One who is devoted to the Supreme Personality can attain all the benefits derived from other yogic processes, speculation, rituals, sacrifices, charities, etc. That is the specific benediction of devotional service. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Hare.
A devotee of the Lord can approach the supreme destination easily and happily, but this destination cannot be approached by any other process of religion. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is stated in the 18th chapter. Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam paramam bhaja ahantam sarva papebhyo moksha yushami masucha. One should give up all other processes of self-realization and simply execute devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That will enable one to reach the highest perfection of life. There is no need for one to consider the sinful actions of his past life, because the Supreme Lord fully takes charge of him. Therefore, one should not futilely try to deliver himself in spiritual realization. Let everyone take shelter of the Supreme Omnipotent Godhead, Krishna. That is the highest perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is ki
jai.
12th chapter on devotional service ki
jai.
Hitai go premanand.
Hari bo.
Verses 6 to 7, chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananye naiva yogena mam jayanta upasate teshang aham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha maya vesita chetasam maya avesita chetasam. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Partha, Aprita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Om Tat Sat. This is a very sublime purport, wherein Srila Prabhupada has explained the process of fully engaging in Krishna consciousness. Even a little practice of Krishna consciousness can give unlimited good fortune. Even after a short process of Krishna consciousness, someone can achieve perfection. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, he achieved perfection in 7 days. Kadvanga Maharaj, he got perfection in one moment. One muhurta, 48.5 minutes. He was told that you have 48 minutes to live as a devas. One muhurta. When he was offered, after fighting with the devas in the higher planetary systems, he was offered anything he wanted. So instead he said, well, first tell me how long do I have to live, because that's essential information to know before I tell you what I want. So they said, you have one muhurta. 48 minute period of life left. Then he said, then That's all right. I don't need anything from you. Just give me one of your flying saucers and take me, one of your, whatever they were, the spaceships. Take me immediately back to my temple on the planet Earth, and I'll surrender to my deities. I'll take association of the Vaishnavas, and in that association, surrendering to my deity of Krishna, I'll go back home, back to Godhead. So though he was in another galaxy, for the devas it wasn't difficult for them to transfer him back immediately to this planet. You know, we're toying around with our technology. They spend billions of dollars sending, what is it, I forget the name of the probe. It's supposed to go up to Jupiter, and now the antenna's jammed. They're trying to hammer the antenna open by some kind of shock therapy. So far it hasn't worked. And yet we're so proud that we can say there's no God, or we create everything by evolution, or just create some kind of crazy theory. Where the Vedas, they're telling us that there's life on other planets all over the universe, and some of that life is far much more evolved than we are. So much so that they could transport a person from this planet from another star system in less than 45 minutes. Enough time not only to hit 45 to live, get him here. There's still enough time for him to do his final surrender to Krishna and get back to Godhead. So almost instantaneously they could return him here. So although human beings are not so highly evolved as our residents on higher planets, we're the same type of consciousness in the sense of a human evolved consciousness, a consciousness that can understand the self and the supreme self. There's the cutting difference between animals and humans. The human species, in its 400,000 different forms, has got the potential to realize God, understand God in the present body. Whereas the animal species do not find it very easy to do that. Their intelligence is not developed in those areas. So even though amongst the human species, we're actually considered very insignificant. The higher devas, the Gandharvas, Chinnas, Kanaras, Janalok, Tapalok, Moholok, and so on, higher planetary system residents are very much more advanced. Even the Asuras, who are in lower planet, but they're technologically more advanced. They're able to create mechanized very elaborate machines for flying and for doing other things. But human beings have got the capacity to fully develop and become brahmanas, become spiritually realized, to become Vaishnavas, and go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Srila Prabhupada said we could also go back in this one lifetime. But we should understand that's no mean feat. That's not an insignificant thing. It may sound very easy, but it's actually the topmost achievement. Krishna says, Napnuvanti Mahatma Nasangsidhim Paramam Gataha. Once someone reaches my supreme abode, then they don't want to come back down again. They don't fall down again to the material world. So that's the topmost perfection. I think I explained here about baby monkey and baby kitten philosophies. Atlanta did, maybe I didn't hear. You have a baby kitten here, I saw. But they don't have seen any monkeys. You know how the mother moves the baby kitten? How does the mother move the baby kitten?
No.
What does the kitten do? Just hangs there. But. Hangs loose. And what does the baby monkey do?
He embraces the mother.
What does the mother do with the baby? What does she do? She hold on with the baby, or just...
No. She hasn't made any special effort. Baby or woman, monkey or bone.
So we'll do the baby monkey.
All right. So these are the two philosophies. Baby kitten and baby monkey. Understood?
How does it apply to what you were thinking of?
Baby kitten philosophy means that simply to depend on the Lord, not to make any effort on your own part to save it. I can't do anything. It all depends on the Lord's mercy. Simply bathe in the blood. He'll do everything. We don't have to try to do anything.
What power we have.
We just hang loose. We're powerless. So in India, in South India, there was a sect, of Ramanuja Sampradaya, they also developed this offshoot. We can't do anything, we're helpless, so we just have to depend on the mercy of the Lord. So there's also no use in trying to do anything, we just depend. And this has become popular in Southeast America also. Certain sects have the same idea. The flesh is weak, so what can we do? Depend on the Lord. The other side of the coin is monkey philosophy. That we simply do our sadhana, bhakti, and there's no special effort needed from the Lord because whatever according to our sadhana we're going to get anyway. So it's all dependent on my chanting and my practices and whatever devotional service I do. So there's no special reason of genuflecting before God. To just do our rituals and we'll get back to Godhead. Whatever we do, it's all because of our efforts. We don't need a guru, don't need any special help. Just our own sadhana is enough, own practice. That's like monkey philosophy. I'm hanging on. So monkey, just the baby monkey just hanging on, so I think it's his effort. But actually the acharyas say that the more accurate understanding of our position is like a man who fell in a well and is handed down a rope. You have to hang on to the rope. You can't get out of the well yourself. It's too deep and steep. Just like Prabhupada gave the example, you can't swim out of the ocean alone. Someone has to come and lift you out of the ocean. So in the well and the rope example, the person holds on to the rope, and by the combined effort of the rope and the person above and his effort, then he's able to get out of the well. But we need to practice our devotional service at the same time we're depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. We make our effort at the same time we depend on the Lord. Even if the effort we try to make it 100%, maybe it's only 80% or 90% or 75% or something. And depending on the Lord's mercy, He can still deliver us, even at less than 100%. But from our side, we should try the best that we can to serve Him, to practice. At the same time, out of humility, the devotee understands that I may not be up to the 100% mark. I was praying to the Lord and His devotee for their blessings and trying to take whatever help and mercy they can get. So this combination of the Lord's mercy and the devotee's desire is important. Both the things are needed. So here it also says, Yavai sadhana sampatti purushartha chatushtaye toya vina tadapnoti naro narayana swayaha. Asraya means to take shelter. So we need to take shelter of the Lord. Just by the four purusharthas, or by Prabhupada said here, you get all the benefits by taking shelter of Krishna. All the benefits from the other various processes are automatically there. You don't have to individually, independently try for those things. Similarly, one doesn't need to take shelter of the other processes. The other processes are not so complete. One should take shelter of the devotional service. And part of that is to take shelter of Guru and Krishna. So it comes from this that there are many experts in these other processes. There's yogi experts, speculation experts, ritual experts, sacrificial experts, great charitable people, great karmakandis. They're all expert in their fields. But being expert in those fields doesn't mean that you know Krishna. To know Krishna, you have to be a pure devotee. So those other experts, yogis, bogis, gyanis, and so on, they're not able to enter into the actual meaning or understanding of devotional service. Just as much as, so if you want to learn devotional service, who do you go to?
Vaishnava.
They go to a Vaishnava. If you want to know about Hindu practices, would you go to a Muslim mullah and ask him? Or a Baptist priest? Obviously you wouldn't, because they're going to give you some speculative answer. They won't have the true picture. So you have to go to the Vaishnavas. Just an example, once I told a story about the Kadvanga Purana from the Gopal Bhar story. Remember that? Mohammedan king challenged that. No, some big Digvijay, in short. So big Pandit came and challenged all the other
Big Vijay, all other pundits in the kingdom and the empire. So the Mohammedan emperor, he sent a message to Krishna Chandra that he should send a big pundit up to defeat Big Vijay, but none of his pundits in Navadvip 300 years ago, they were not prepared to go there because they were afraid they'd get defeated. And there was a question of, you know, defending the empire. So Gopal Bhar, who was like a court jester, like a courtier, he said, I'll go. He said, Gopal, don't joke around, this is serious. No, I have to go. How much will you give me if I defeat the pundit? Well, I'll give you 1,000 gold coins. Okay, I'm going. No problem. So he shaved all up, put on a Harinam cheddar. He wrapped up an old bedpost he had in a place of silk. So it looked like one of those ancient manuscripts wrapped up. And he came, Big Tilak. So then the king saw, you really look far out, Gopal. You look like a real pucker pundit. So off I go. So what's that in your hand? That's my Katvanga Purana. So then he walked up with his wooden shoes, you know, walked up to the 250 kilometers it took to get to the empire's capital in Malda, in Gaud, near where Rupin Sanatan lived at Ramkeli. There they met the emperor. After the long journey, Gopal stayed at the emperor's guest house and he ate sumptuously for a few days. The emperor was really anxious, so let's get the debate going. So he came out for the debate. And there was the big Big Vijay who'd conquered all pundits all over India. Gopal came up, you know, completely so confident. Walked up and everybody was impressed. Even the pundit got said, wow, why, how this guy is so confident. So he was swagatam, welcome. And so what would you like to discuss over it? What is that? I see you brought some book. What book have you brought? So I brought my the Katvanga Purana. Katvanga Purana. Oh, the 18 Puranas and the 108 Upanishads and the Mahabharata and the four Vedas and all the Samhitas. Katvanga Purana? They didn't place it. Meanwhile, and Gopal said, wait, Katvanga Purana knows all. It knows all. I have just calculated that at this time, at this muhurta, at this lagna, at this rising sign and constellation, at this moment, taking the hair from a great pundit, taking a hair from this pundit, this Digvijay, he's got a special power. Whoever takes a hair from his head will get the special blessing of longevity, good fortune, virility, good fame, overcoming all obstacles in life, so many benedictions will be there. This is the special muhurtam. This is the moment. Then he said, really? Then immediately dived on the guy and said, give me a hair. Started ripping out his hair and then the pundit, no, no, no. He's right off, you know, and people are all chasing him, trying to grab his hair. And the Big Vijay split, left the place. So the emperor was really happy, got rid of this pundit. He also gave 1,000 gold coins to Gopal, so he got double. He went back and got some more gold coins, maybe even 2,000, I forget now. Then the king said, heard the whole thing, said, Gopal, how could you do that? How could you go there? So anyone who's foolish enough to go to a Mohammedan emperor in challenge, what does a Mohammedan emperor know about, how can he judge who's the victor of debate on Hindu Shastra? So right there it shows he deserves to get this. Because he had to have someone who knows something to be able to judge. There's also a difficulty that we face. They keep trying to put our religion to trial in America. And where's the jury or where the judge who's able to actually evaluate someone else's religion? They don't have that capacity. to really understand what is a religion, what's the practice in it. Anyway, then that king asked, what is this Khatvanga Purana? And then he unwrapped his silk cloth, and there was the broken, you know, bed. Sikkat means bed, and Anga means a part, or leg. This is the broken leg of my bed. And Purana means they say it's old. The old broken leg of my bed. Khatvanga Purana. Can I hand it to you, Gopal? Pretty ingenious. It's all right, just give me my 1,000 gold coins. So Gopal wasn't a pure Vaishnava, but he knew, he respected pure Vaishnavas, he respected what it took to know Vedic culture. So just like this Mohammedan emperor, he won't really know, can't really evaluate the finer aspects of Hindu or Vedic philosophy. Similar, even within Vedic philosophy, the other, even they may be very expert, the other parts of it, they're not able to understand. But if somebody surrenders, like this verse explains, we take shelter of Krishna. Someone takes shelter of Krishna in pure devotional service. Krishna gives them that knowledge. Tesham satada juktanam dadami buddhi yogam tam. For someone who's constantly engaged in Krishna's service, he gives them the intelligence whereby they can come to him. Yenu mamu payanti te. So that's why the devotional service process is so special. It's the only process that gives one knowledge about Krishna directly. Bhaktamam amijanati. Only the devotee can know Krishna as he is. So this is a very special feature of devotional service. So all these things are impetuses for us actually to simply take shelter in devotional service. Sometimes, due to association, devotees want to take shelter in some psychic process or some mystic process or some astral projection or any other, or some yoga or whatever, some speculation. But these things will not actually be able to take us to the perfectional platforms. Their destinations are much lower planes. If we want to actually know Krishna, we want to get back to Godhead, we need to simply follow this process that Krishna is recommending. In other yogas, it seems that there are many yogis, many people that were very expert in the other processes of self-realization. So, since they are getting a lot of results, they are satisfied with those processes. Even though they didn't know Krishna, they knew enough of different things that they didn't even know that there was Krishna to know about. So they somehow were satisfied. From the age of Kali, even to practice the other yogas and be successful in whatever they're successful in, it's very difficult. It's a very difficult age to practice all these rituals. Other processes are more ritualistic. But devotional service has practices, but it's dependent on our surrender to Krishna. So that's actually the only guaranteed process in this age. Other processes are not very easy. Neither they'll take you to the supreme destination, nor will even they give you the partial fruits that they normally offer. It's very hard to get those because people don't practice it so perfectly. And when devotional service, we're depending on the Lord's mercy, and even if we fall a little bit short, He may still deliver us. But in the other processes, one has to be more accurate, otherwise you don't get... So whereas to reach a middle, intermediate result, it may take many, many births of hard effort. To reach the highest benediction, a person can complete even in one moment, 45 minutes. So sometimes the people get bewildered, they can't understand, how is this? But you say by chanting Hare Krishna accidentally, Namavash, you can get liberation. And when great yogis, they can't get it even after so many births. That's a discussion happened with Gopal Chakravarti, mentioned the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the house of the Govardhan and Hiranya Mazumdar. When he challenged Haridas Thakur's statement about the holy name, actually, they asked Haridas Thakur to speak on the whole glories of the holy name. But some of the pundits wanted to show off and said, oh yes, yes, we know about chanting. By chanting, you can get liberation. Then Haridas Thakur said, actually, liberation is not the real fruit of chanting. It's a byproduct. You can get it even by accidentally chanting. And he quoted a verse from the Vedas, how by accidentally chanting the holy name, Namavash, one can get liberation. That Gopal Chakravarti got so upset, he said that he stood up and said, "Why don't listen? How can you people listen to this sentimental, this speak? How do you expect us to just sit here and listen to what he's saying? Great yogis are meditating for thousands of births. They don't get liberation. And he's saying if you just accidentally chant the holy names, you get liberation. How is it possible? There's an insult to our intelligence to hear such things." And Haridas Thakur said that, "It's not my words, it's what the scriptures are saying." And he quoted so many scriptures. But still, this Gopal Chakravarti said, "If you can't get liberation by accidentally chanting the holy name, then I'll cut off your nose. I'll let your nose fall off," or something like that. And then Haridas Thakur said, "I'll cut my own nose off if one doesn't get liberation by Namavash." And everybody stood up, "No, no, stop this. Gopal, how can you do this? He's our distinguished guest. He's a great acharya. You leave here, you're fired. You're retrenched. Committed a great offense." Please, they fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur and begged him to forgive them, because anyone who even hears offenses against a Vaishnava, if they don't ask forgiveness, they can also get the reaction. So it's very dangerous to hear offenses, even what to speak of, do them against the pure Vaishnava. So Haridas Thakur said, "Well, obviously this person doesn't know anything about Vaishnava Tattva. He just must have studied only the impersonal path, so he doesn't know about it." This is an AC. So many times, here's a, maybe a great Brahmana, a scholar, everything, but when it came to Bhakti Tattva, he had a totally wrong, erroneous idea, to the point that he was offensive against Haridas Thakur. And finally, then Haridas Thakur heard that within 3 days, Gopal Chakravarti got leprosy and his nose fell off his face. He felt very sad to hear the bad news, because the Vaishnavas sad to see others' sadness and happy to see others spiritually happy. So Haridas Thakur left that place. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So one should give up all other process of self-realization, simply execute devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That will enable one to reach the highest perfection of life. These are all, what happens is that when one starts in devotional service, then the mind starts to play tricks, seeing that mind's losing control, intelligence is taking over. So then the mind, Maya tries to influence the mind, comes up with all different, well, actually, before you do devotional service, maybe you should visit some holy places or do some tapasyas or any, so many, or you should do a little charity first or take care of this thing or that thing. It's like so many, anything they kind of get you not to do devotional service. So these verses are to protect us, to give our intelligence the ammunition to take, hey, wait a minute, mind. Don't pull that one on me. Don't try to fool me in that way. There's no way that one can be able to achieve this perfection except through devotional service. So there's no use in me doing anything else. So here we are in the shelter of Nitai Gaurachandra, trying Srila Prabhupada, trying to do devotional service, bring people to Krishna consciousness. And by taking shelter of the Lord, by keeping ourselves always engaged in Krishna service, associating with the Vaishnavas, we can advance. Jagananda Pandit nicely explained how people worship their own deities, or worship deities in the temple, but they just think that everybody else doesn't count. They don't respect the Vaishnavas, they don't really. They just think, I'm doing my service, I go to my religious institution, and that's enough. So those are the Kanishta Adhikaris. And the Madhyama Adhikari means he's friends with the devotees, worships the Lord, takes shelter of the spiritual master and advanced Vaishnavas. And the foolish people, innocent people, he's compassionate on them and tries to give them Krishna consciousness. And he avoids the envious people. That's a Madhyama Adhikari. So many different kinds of Uttama Adhikaris are there who are very much fixed up in the devotional service. So said that if we are steady in our devotional practices as a Madhyama Adhikari, very quickly Krishna will elevate one to the platform of Uttama Adhikari without delay. So here also, Krishna says, na chirat, not after a long time. It won't take very long. One example, Jiva Goswami explains that one can get purified in the time of Sata Padma Padma Dala perforation. Understand? Sata Padma Pata perforation. 1,000 lotus leaves. 100 lotus sata, 100 lotus leaves, you put them on top of each other.
Sata Padma Pata.
Then you take a pin, a needle, and you insert the needle through the leaves. So the needle goes through all the leaves at the same time, right?
Right.
Wrong. It's actually going through one at a time. There's a slight time difference between one to the next. Minute fraction of a second, fraction of a time, isn't it?
So that time.
So that time, just like there's that slight time span difference, this type of minute time span, and that slight time span, all the sinful reactions can be destroyed by Krishna. So it doesn't take much time. Krishna can deliver just like that. Ready? Less time. And a very short amount of time. Little amount of time. Small amount of time. So we take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, take shelter of Sisi Nitai Gaura Chandra. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentioned, Prabhupada used this very many times, how the devotees are passionate. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song, Navhata song, he said how chanting the holy names and then doing jiva dvaya, being Krishna conscious, serving Krishna, chanting the holy names, and then being merciful to other Vaishnavas, other conditioned souls. These are the essence of religion, chanting the holy names, worshipping the Lord, and being compassionate to others. So this is our basic process of trying to practice our Krishna consciousness at the same time as going out, distributing books, distributing prasadam, distributing the mercy. So this is very pleasing to Lord Chaitanya of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.